Welcome to the Convene podcast. My name is Magdalena Atanasova, digital media editor of Convene and your host. Welcome to season two, recorded at Convening Leaders 2024 in San Diego and dedicated to BCMA's 20 in their 20s program. In this episode, we dive deep into the world of sourcing, negotiations, and contracts with Astrid Schreier from Helms Prisco and Rachel Molyneux from Liverpool Convention Bureau. Together, we explore effective sourcing strategies and emerging contract trends, as well as ways to better approach negotiations and shifts in sales within the business events industry. Enjoy the episode.
I'm very happy to have you both and to have a whole season dedicated to 20 in their 20s.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Rachel is the current class. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Inaugural class here.
Yeah, and second class. So,
yes. Yeah.
It's been a while for us now. Let's start with brief introductions and just share a bit about yourself and how many years you've been in the industry.
Hi, my name is Astrid Schreier. I've been in the industry since 2007 when I started as a sophomore in Temple's hospitality program. And that's when I actually joined PCMA as well. So 17 years. I'm currently serving as a global accounts manager with Helms Prisco.
I'm Rachel Molyneux. I'm from Liverpool in the UK and I work for Liverpool Convention Bureau. I actually kind of fell into the industry. It wasn't like a choice. I did a business degree at university and then there was like a sandwich year and I did an internship for a year at the Liverpool Convention Bureau and I've literally not looked back. Like that's kind of been the start of my career and it's continued from then. I've been there for 6 years now and I absolutely love it. And I promote Liverpool as a world-class conference destination.
Yeah, we can see your passion about Liverpool. So you both have background in sourcing and bidding and having that in mind, it is a complex part of the event cycle. And what excites you most about it?
I suppose bidding, I have a personal attachment to every single bid that I put together because it does take a lot of like time and effort. And we work really closely with academics and medics and hearing what they're doing and the research that they're involved in, it kind of really grabs you. And I think that every single bid, obviously you want to win. And you don't always win them, and that is quite a hard learning curve. But I absolutely love it when you work with someone who's just passionate about their work and actually for them to bring that confidence in their field to their home city or a city that they're really proud of and that you've played a role in that is actually so rewarding. And I actually don't get bored of it either. So it's been a few years, but every single conference I still give the same amount of energy to and really want it for the city and for the person that we're working with as well.
I started as an association meeting planner, so have kind of morphed through my career now just doing the sourcing component. Since Helms Prisco, that's our full role, is helping our clients. So I get to work with a multitude of different clients, whether they're corporate clients, association clients, helping them with that first major piece of their planning. So really getting to, you know, dive in with their teams of what are the goals of their events, how can the location itself, whether it's, you know, the city, state, country, play a role in what the eventual outcomes of their event or meeting might be, but also, you know, really diving in of what do they need to accomplish and how do the venues in particular help to facilitate that. So really being able to educate myself on what those different pieces are of those individual cities and venues and pairing them with my clients' needs is great, just to be able to pair our clients with great partners.
Speaking about that, can you share some strategies for effective sourcing of venues and destinations?
Sure. I mean, there's so many questions that we like to go into and really dive in with the client and the stakeholders to make sure that we're pairing them with, you know, and that we're sourcing the best cities and best hotels, you know. Very basic questions of, you know, like we were saying, the overall objectives, budgets, key, what are their needs when it comes to, you know, the basic logistics figures, you know, how much space do you need? How many people do you need to feed? All of those different things. But also, you know, what are your attendees like? What are their demographics? Where do they want to go? Where do they currently live? You know, what is attractive to them for a destination? Is it, you know, very budget driven? Is it sustainability efforts? Is it, you know, there's the community engagement, like when you are doing bids, you know, yeah. is there that local host, you know, area that's very specific for different industries in different locations and things like that. And some clients have very extensive, exhaustive lists, and some, you know, come in with very basic information, and we're able to really help guide them through that process.
And Rachel, how do you as a commission bureau stand out when people like Astrid are looking for places? Explain yeah. a little bit about that side.
So we kind of have a bit of a research strategy when it comes to kind of what type of events we want to hold in the city. And that is really based on our sector strengths. So we're kind of led down a path with what the innovations and the research that's coming out of the city, and then we will basically go and find conferences in that area, because we understand that by holding that event in the city, it brings all these experts in that field, and it puts Liverpool on the map and actually leads to inward investment opportunities for the sure. city as well. I think in terms of standing out, I think it is quite difficult. You know, there's some great cities in the UK, and I think every single city has got hotels, it's got places to host, you know, venues yeah. and stuff, so you do have to be really clear in what makes your city different. And I think with Liverpool, well, there's a few things that we say. The people are really friendly, so we try and get that across. You know, you'll get a really warm welcome. It's really compact and walkable, so we try and say, you know, you can go green, you don't need to be going from bus to bus, things like that. And the other thing is just, again, like I say, the innovation and research is finding that local host that has got the expertise will make that stand out. And actually, they contribute so much to a meeting in terms of the theme, content, and that makes, hopefully, Liverpool different to everyone else because of their level of expertise.
I like that. I mean, can we just comment on her passion?
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. and that's something, you know, when we come to events like this or other industry events where I get to meet with different folks from different cities and different bureaus, is when you feel that passion, like, if a client starts mentioning things to me, I'm going to make connections and be like, well, you know, I met this girl who is, you know, this, you know, you have this passion, and, you know, she was talking about Liverpool, and hey, maybe that would be a great fit for this. And, you know, you can make those connections. Mm-hmm. And when you can provide, you know, to your clients versus yeah. them having to figure it out, you know, that's another part of, you know, the services of why yeah. we provide. So when CVBs provide that to us to be able to provide out, it just makes us look all the better that we have that education about what the cities and destinations have to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important. I think the relationship with our agents, there's not every city works the same, but we kind of see you as our ambassadors as well. So if we can Absolutely. Provide you with the information to go and sell our city, I mean, that's doing our job for us as yes. well. And just every event that comes basically needs to be a success. Otherwise, people are going to go away and go, oh, I'm never going to go to Liverpool. But what we want is return visitors, yes. people coming back, shouting about it, and really putting us on an international yeah. playing field, really.
Moving a little bit to a topic that might not be the favorite of everyone, contract trends, especially after COVID, they changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure for both of you, they've also changed. So can you share a bit about how they've changed and what are the trends moving forward?
Sure. So during COVID or coming out of COVID, you know, we had COVID-specific clauses in terms of a lot as it related to cancellation, force majeure, rebooking clauses. A lot of that stuff has now phased back out. We don't see that as really, you know, there might be some language in the force majeure clause where we're making sure the word pandemic is now in there, or, you know, as it relates to government-related travel restrictions. That's the type of language we're now making sure. So those force majeure clauses are getting a little longer with a few added language. A lot of things that we're seeing now is as it relates to additional fees. And I don't know if this is the same, you know, in the UK, but in the US specifically, as it relates to hospitality staffing coming out of COVID, it's still an industry that was very badly hit in terms of staffing levels. And we're not quite back to what it was pre-COVID. So with that, we're seeing additional clauses that are being added for additional fees in hotel contracts to potentially cover staffing or things that are more so securing the money to pay the staff, you know, whether it's higher service fees or, you know, items that potentially before would have been, you know, no charges attached to them, more room flipping fees, anything where there's more guaranteed labor that would be involved. or, you know, different fees that relates to other service staff members, you know, banquet staffing and things like that. We're seeing that a lot now come up, and just different fees that are outlined, and making sure that the hotels are being as transparent up front so that our clients are aware of it. So it's not something where, you know, we love it if we're able to get things negotiated out. That's something that we help our clients do and negotiate. But unfortunately, it's the reality of doing business now, especially with, and, you know, higher food costs, things like that. Yeah. So it's just making sure everything's transparently outlined for our clients so they can budget effectively, and it's not any surprises that come up, you know, when the program's actualizing.
I think from a destination's point of view, it was really difficult in COVID. And I think definitely with the hotels, I mean, there's been a shift in like the time that people book. Like, we're getting a lot more like last minute bookings. People don't really want to say in advance whether they're going to come or not. So we kind of shifted our, we offer an accommodation booking service for delegates and conference organizers. And we shifted from offering like non-refundable rates to fully refundable, keeping it open as long as possible so that we can capture more people. I think another trend that's kind of came off the back of COVID is kind of the, well, I'm really glad that the events are obviously back in full force. We're here at like a 5,000 person conference, which I honestly can't believe. But it's almost having an event with a purpose and the social impact of conferences as well. So we've kind of now put together a bit of a strategy on, we don't want conferences to just come to the city and leave. We want to kind of make sure that they're maybe integrating with the local community or having some sort of like legacy behind them. And I think actually it's been a really nice change out of COVID that people are doing things with a little bit more of a purpose. So we are wanting to work on that a little bit more in the years to come, months to come.
Yeah. No, I think that should stay in the years to come. Like,
yeah,
every event must have a purpose.
Yeah.
I think we're past that point to just fly out for whatever reason, just because somebody told you to fly out and do nothing there. Negotiating contracts is a critical skill in event management. How do you level up and learn that? Because it's a difficult skill. I mean, even negotiating your own salary is difficult. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it, and especially when it comes to events and working with hotels or venue is, and even same to your point about, you know, negotiating salaries, understanding your worth and being able to communicate that. You know, when I worked as an association meeting planner, a lot of our meetings sometimes were a little less desirable for some hotels. You know, rooms to space ratio was off. They wanted low budgets. They wanted all of the space and everything for like as low as they could get. So we had to start telling more of a story, really showcasing the overall economic impact of the individual events. You know, it's not just what the hotel is getting, but depending on the size of the event coming, you know, what was the impact to the city? And CVBs really were able to step up to provide that data to be able to really tell the story of, this is why we want to come to you. This is what we can offer you. What can you offer? And I try to be as transparent as possible when it comes to any sort of negotiations of, this is what we're hoping for. Tell me what you can do. Where can we compromise so that there's, you know, some give and take on both sides?
I mean, I completely agree. I think it's difficult as a CVB and also as an agency, you kind of piggy in the middle.
Yes.
You know, you've got the partners in your hotels and venues who are kind of looking at you for inquiries, but then you've got the clients on the other side saying, this is what we want. And it's really hard, but I think it's really important to just manage expectations, and on both sides actually, because the client always wants the lowest price, but you know that the hotels will not give them that. And it's difficult actually, and I don't think that anyone's probably perfect at it. It's just managing expectations.
What about hybrid and virtual events? I'm sure you both experienced that perfect time in 2020. But how has it changed, or has it changed your jobs and responsibilities in any way?
So for me, virtual events, I actually somehow managed to not have to get too involved with virtual events. Hybrid, in terms of, you know, the sourcing, how it changed the sourcing landscape, it was more questions on the RFP. It was more in-depth questions regarding audiovisual equipment and or what is needed. And it was a lot of bringing in our AV partners to educate our clients of, this is what's needed. This is how much it costs. This is how much additional space you need. And also does it make sense for your people? I feel like a lot of what happened in COVID was people automatically just jumped right to virtual because they had to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes worked with some of my clients and we took a step back of, does your conference actually translate well to virtual? And I had one client, to use an example, it was a scientific conference where it was like very heavy poster boards and, you know, some exhibitor tabletops, and they were looking at taking the entirety of it virtual. And I was like, sure, yes, we can do, you know, what would have been your general session presentations to that. But, you know, this, the poster piece, like that's not necessarily going to easily translate. And is it needed? Do your people really need that for that year? Or what's a different way that that can be done? Maybe not in a virtual meeting setting. When folks started going back in person, everyone was like, oh, we need to make sure it's still hybrid. Well, I had one client where they did it hybrid, but everybody was so excited to go back in person.
Yeah.
Nobody did the virtual component. And then it was like, from a financial standpoint, did it end up being worthwhile?
Mm. Yeah.
So, well, I think as a destination, obviously we want people in person in the city. That's the key for us. But I think there is like that element of hybrids where it brings people that maybe can't necessarily get there.
Yes.
And I think that is obviously really good. We want people in person in Liverpool. I think from a personal point of view though, I mean, we weren't using Teams or Zoom before the pandemic. And obviously that was our only choice during the pandemic. And actually for my own personal work, I've been able to connect with so many more people and have meetings, you know, next week instead of next month. And especially with academics and medics that we're working with quite a lot, they're really busy people. And if we were trying to find a time to go into the hospital or a local university, it would be months, you know, and then by that time the RFP is gone and everything's kind of just delayed. But actually we've been able to have a lot more calls, and we have an ambassador program, but that's just gone from strength to strength in COVID because we've had a bit more of a personalized approach and time to actually think, to say, actually, how can we do this better? And so I'm grateful for the technology actually there for that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll definitely keep parts of it, and then other parts maybe not.
Yeah. Can you share some examples of some more innovative sales approaches that you've used to differentiate your services?
It's a good question. I think, you know, our branding, we try and be a little bit different and a little bit like closer to our personality. So all of our branding is very pink, and typically you get destinations, you know, and it's like just maybe a destination image. We had superheroes. We're kind of trying to be in people's faces a bit more. We're here and we really do mean business, I suppose. But yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, with Helms Briscoe, I mean, there's obviously a lot of different agencies in the space doing third party, both, you know, full meeting management or sourcing services. Now, Helms Briscoe has the longevity and the numbers that kind of were able to speak for themselves, but also just the individuals within the organization. You know, we're over 1,400 people worldwide. And one of the great things that I like to talk to, you know, I was a former planner. A lot of my colleagues are former hotel reps, and it's a nice mixture throughout the organization. When I'm talking about, you know, Helms Briscoe services that I can provide to other planners, I can speak from the experience of having been that planner.
And looking ahead, what trends do you anticipate will affect you the most?
Obviously, AI is kind of like a theme that's run throughout this event today. And I mean, I went to a session earlier and I couldn't believe how much I'm not using it and how much I'm now going to use it. And I think at the minute, it's still probably kind of seen as like you get cutting corners, you're getting a robot to tell you how to do things. But someone said earlier that it's not that like the machine's going to take over your job, it's someone who's using the machine that is. And I cannot, like, that's the quote of like almost the day now for me, because it's like, yeah, like, why didn't I think about that? And the way people are using it as well, they're so smart. So AI is kind of like, I think, a really good opportunity for event planners, especially with the research and the bids inside of it. So I'll be using that.
I definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, we just see there's so much more happening in the hotel industry. You know, we're still seeing all of these different hotel brands that are building and everybody's just bouncing back. So it's just wonderful to see, you know, everything that's coming out. You know, we're back, we're past COVID, we're all here. There's 5,000 people. Everything that you know, Sheriff was talking about on the main stage this morning. We're making sure that we're looking at sustainability and climate change and, you know, really making sure that business events and, you know, our roles are seen as part of the global economy because of the huge economic impact that they make. And then even just the 20 in their 20s program to see, you know, I was there for that first year 10 years ago and to see how much it's grown. But even just talking with student members that are here and seeing what that next generation is going to bring about. And I feel like our industry, more than others, really embraces the generation that's coming behind it. Like, I felt it when I was a student that this was such a welcoming industry and that everybody wanted to see the continuation of that strength of the industry. So, and all of the different initiatives around that are just going to continue to grow.
There's a nice mix of AI and the next generation. I mean, just think it works very well together.
Yeah.
And just wrapping this conversation, was there anything we didn't address and we should mention before we close?
No.
Just that it's a great industry to be part of, and it's really rewarding, isn't it? And you just meet people all the time who are just so friendly and the friends for life. So,
yes.
I love it.
Yes, I 100% agree.
What was that nice end of our episode? So, thank you both so much for being a part of the Convene podcast.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you would like additional perspectives on the industry, check out pcma.org/convene. Until next time.